SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside on a Thursday morning with a lot of good action to get to. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good. It's that rite of passage here from the summer into the fall, even though it's still early in August. Why? There is a football game on tonight, and we are ready for some action.
Yeah, I look forward to the start of the Hall of Fame game, and then, of course, everyone's tone changing probably pretty quickly into that game. Unless you have a bet on it, we'll see what we can do for you. But we do begin with the NFL, but not with the Hall of Fame game, but with the NFL's appeal on the 6-game suspension of Deshaun Watson. The NFL has decided to appeal, and they are looking for a much, much harsher suspension, minimum, really, of a year, an indefinite suspension, and a big-time monetary fine.
Yes, and that's the way it should be here, and the NFL is going to right a wrong. This is a lose-lose situation for all involved, but I think the NFL realized when the decision came down from the judge that it was 6 games, they needed to step in here regardless of the way. It was like, well, you negotiated this in, and to take it out of Roger Goodell's hands for a third party, this is the right decision, and they're going to ramp up this suspension.
It also seems like the Browns and Watson's kind of trickery might have backfired on themselves. We'll explain in just a minute. There's also some other top NFL stories around the quarterback position involving Mitchell Trubisky really struggling in camp. A job that was largely believed to be his to lose, he might just be losing. Now transitioning to splitting first team reps, but I don't even know if it's with Kenny Pickett. It appears with Mason Rudolph.
Here we go. Mason Rudolph back into the fold. And if you are a Pittsburgh Steelers backer here, where you have 3 guys and none of them wants to seize the day right now, this is a tough look for Mike Tomlin at Steelers organization that's used to winning. This might be his best coaching job yet if they do have a winning season.
I have my doubts. And I also have my questions, because you say that 3 of them, I don't know if Kenny Pickett's even being given a chance in Pittsburgh despite being selected in the first round. And then you've got, what are you doing, pal? And then we've got a third headline here that all ties in, or maybe it doesn't. Jimmy Garoppolo, fully cleared, making sure they get that news out there just in case people, you know, hey, he's fine now. He's fine. Everyone's got their quarterbacks, John Lynch. Sorry, but he's fully cleared at least, Donnie.
Yeah, I thought it was cleared like a month ago. We had the reports out there that he was throwing. When was he throwing, Mr. Agent? I think like last Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not big news here. But I do love the fact that the 49ers do not allow Jimmy Garoppolo to be filmed by beat writers, but they are allowed to be filmed by regular people in the stands, then retweeted by beat writers to put it out there. Sensational stuff by the Niners. Ooh, let's hide him, not hide him, but let's show him and not show him.
Everything they're trying to tell you is grand with Jimmy Garoppolo. We have a team in the Pittsburgh Steelers who would really like to compete at a high level this year. They are rolling out Trubisky, Rudolph, no phone call, no desire, no interest in Jimmy Garoppolo. And yet I am sure there are a ton of people who are very, maybe there is interest on it, but the Niners are holding out for a first round pick. We make the move over to Major League Baseball. Yesterday we had the Juan Soto debut, and boy, did this get off to a rip roaring start. In the first inning, they were 6 batters in and they had 5 runs against Chad Kuhl. The radio audience is here with us on a delightful Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside of the Early Line, Sirius XM, Channel 159, a 9-1 victory for the Padres in Soto's debut.
Yeah, off they go here. Sold out crowd in San Diego, expecting big things. And also yesterday, I think we were expecting big things for that San Diego Padres offense against Chad Kuhl, and it certainly happened. They're on a trajectory point now, which you could say it's a shame that I guess they have the Dodgers in their division, because they don't lose either. But this team's going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch and into the playoffs.
No slander, Chad Kuhl, though. Over 3.5 strikeouts, was able to get it done. He was giving up home run after home run, and they just let him stay in, which is exactly what you're looking for. Another guy who has given up home run after home run and was allowed to stay in, Gerrit Cole. My goodness. 6 runs in the first inning for the Seattle Mariners against the Yankees ace, and the Mariners take the series here in the Bronx.
I mean, did Billy Crystal throw out a first pitch 3 minutes too late here and really set off Gerrit Cole once again at home at Yankee Stadium? Maybe that was the case, but the Mariners certainly planted their flag yesterday on Gerrit Cole early in that game, opening up to a 6-0 lead and cruising the rest of the way. Big win for the Mariners. Are we starting to panic on the Yankees? No, not necessarily, but never a good look there.
Panic on Gerrit Cole, though, depends where you put the bar. 5th time this season, he has allowed 5+ earned runs. Cannot be doing that if you're an ace. Speaking of an ace, Shohei Ohtani. Look, it's not his fault, really, but I have to chuckle that his last 2 outings were a loss to Spencer Howard and Caprillion. 2 of the very worst pitchers in Major League Baseball. And it's not like it was a no decision. It was a loss because the Angels are an absolute mess right now.
They are an absolute mess, and that team is a disaster in the field and a disaster at the plate. It's a big market team that's supposed to have 2 of the best 3 players in Major League Baseball. 1 is still playing. 1 probably won't play the rest of the year, but my goodness, shake it up, Angels. What are you going to do in the offseason? I have no idea how to rebuild this team at this point.
Yeah, we thought that the Ohtani MVP market had potential to move off of a start against the A's and everything that would come with it. Not really. Unfortunate news in women's college basketball. Paige Buchan torn ACL and will miss the entirety of this upcoming season. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on Sports Grid. It's time to get into the latest on Deshaun Watson, as yesterday was quite a big day for this situation here and the unraveling and long winding road that we seem to be traveling here for Deshaun Watson's ultimate ruling and where this will put the Cleveland Browns and Watson as a whole. Yesterday, the NFL did appeal against Judge Robinson's 6-game suspension ruling and did so in a major way, which right off of the bat made those who believe that the NFL was going to prioritize a CBA agreement or Judge Robinson's reputation, you were off base entirely. Judge Robinson settled on 6 games. The NFL asked for an indefinite suspension with a minimum of 1 year and major monetary fines. No punches pulled here from the NFL in their ask. There was a lot more that needs to be settled. We are not even sure who is ultimately going to be the decision maker, as it could be Roger Goodell, or he could pass that buck to someone else throughout this process once again. But clearly, Donnie, the NFL not happy with that 6-game suspension ruling.
No, and they shouldn't be happy with it. And Roger Goodell's not happy. Neither is anybody else. And also, here's the thing I like. Do you know when some things are right and some things are wrong? You see the suspension come out of 6 games, and the squawking began immediately. That's not enough. It should be longer. Everybody recognizes that, except for some odd tweet and odd, representation from your PR hit staff there for the Browns, using the words like, some people, I guess, were triggered by this, but 6 games seems like it's appropriate. And Deshaun Watson is remorseful when the judge said the exact opposite. Hey, interviewing Deshaun Watson looks like he doesn't care about what happened. He thinks he was in the right. And if you remember, Kevin, when they had the press conference initially, hey, Deshaun, would you do anything differently? No, I wouldn't. Right there, told you that I got enough money. I don't think I did anything wrong, and I shouldn't be suspended at all, and we'll hear this process out. So when you got 6 games, let's revert back to the NFL now and what they feel. That whole charade of, we're going to include this third-party person because Roger Goodell shouldn't be the end-all, be-all on, formalities and suspensions. It's nice optics. But the NFL, correct me if I'm wrong, is run by the owners group, right? And the owners pay Roger Goodell. It's the owners' league. It's not the players' league. The owners own the team. The players play here. So the fact that Roger Goodell is sitting on this saying, you know what? I might just give it off to somebody else in the NFL front office. That's code for Roger Goodell is going to tell that person what the suspension is going to be. They're going to rule on it so Roger Goodell doesn't have to basically be in it and can be an arm's length away. But I think everybody agreed this is short. And if you watch anybody, any network, anywhere, Is there one person, analyst, going, man, I can't believe this? Like, Deshaun Watson got six games. I don't think he should have got any because, you know, he wasn't convicted in the court of law and this judge is wrong. Nobody's saying that stance. Why? Because they can't say that stance. You can't come out and say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to put myself out on an island and think this is a light suspension here, but he actually should get less and Roger Goodell should stay out of it. Everybody knows it should be longer. There is no precedent, Kevin. We're not going back to, oh, the six games and four games like the judge actually read. The judge's response was actually, Kevin, this guy is a predator out here. He did wrong, but there's no formal process to give him more than six games, so let's give him six games. The NFL suddenly goes, this is ridiculous. We're stepping in and we're correcting this wrong.
And that is the right move. And again, for people that don't know, in the report, Judge Robinson wrote that Watson engaged in sexual assault as defined by the NFL against the four therapists identified in the report, and you land on six games. That feels quite surprising, and it's why the NFL is coming over the top. I talked also, though, about a, you know, spit of trickery by the Browns and Watson backfiring on them. What has become very clear is the NFL believes that they need to monetarily make Watson pay in this suspension. And their grand idea to have Watson's base salary be less than $700,000 in year one and then flip over to $46 million a year in year two might just blow up in their face. I think it's why, instead of just also saying they want a 17-game suspension, they're saying, no, indefinite suspension that is going to be at least 1 year. Because I think they want to take some of those year two game checks away if they have to. And I think it's what they're also going to set up is a fine. We won't impact year two game checks. You won't be suspended beyond the full season, but you are going to be levied a high monetary number. And the reality of it is, you know, you and I had a similar initial reaction of, in what we're talking about here, the money is fine. They're not going to take away all $250 million of his dollars. He, you know, with the appropriate spending, he's got enough money here from the Browns. He'll be good in that respect. But it has become very clear that the NFL has decided to hone in on that. And maybe Watson, though, is very protective of that, considering how much they went out of their way to ensure his initial money would be minimal to stop him losing millions and millions of dollars when ultimately these fines and suspensions came out. So that is what becomes a very interesting thing to follow here now, is they're not just after the games, but they're going to find a way, Donnie, to probably make him pay north of $5 to $10 million here in suspension and fine money.
Yeah, the optics are terrible across the board, specifically from the Browns' perspective, right? It all started with D and Jimmy Haslam, the owners of the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I asked my wife and my daughter. They think it's cool right now. Did you contact any? No, we didn't. We just talked to Deshaun. He said, no, we trust him, so we're going to sign him, and hopefully this goes by the board. That didn't happen here. But also, when you talk about the indefinite suspension, there's a reason why they use that terminology, because Deshaun Watson isn't coming out on a day-to-day basis saying, man, I messed up. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to put these women in this situation. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong at the time, but now I'm very remorseful and I'll accept what the NFL gives me. That would take away the indefinite suspension, because what the NFL doesn't like right now is, so this guy is going to get just about all his money. He's only going to miss six games. He's clearly not remorseful. What are we actually standing for right now? Because that indefinite number means, is anybody else going to sue you? And number two, we got to see contrition. Are you going to counseling? Are you speaking out against violence against women? What are you doing now with your personal life to sort of make amends and be able to get back into the good graces of the NFL? That's what the indefinite is for, because if he gets suspended 1 year, Deshaun, what do you feel about this? I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't be suspended. Cool. Check back in another six games in there. How do you feel, Deshaun? I don't think I did anything wrong. All right, sit out the second year now until you show some contrition. That's what the indefinite suspension is going to be for. The optics are terrible all the way around, and Cleveland and Deshaun Watson, Kevin, certainly are not helping that equation.
Well, the interesting thing is the Browns, in their, you know, most recent statements, that Watson has shown a level of remorse and understanding, which he has vocally shown the exact opposite of.
Yes.
I've done nothing wrong. What are we doing here, is what Deshaun Watson says. Here is the big betting update from this news right now, at least tangible, right? We know that this is going to negatively impact the Browns, and there's a couple of areas where it happened. The divisional odds went from plus 230 back to 3-1. But that win total, Donnie, 9.5. Remember, before any Watson news came out, it was a 10-plus wins minus 105, which is, of course, a 9.5. They then opened up the under for the first time all year, and we saw legitimate movement. That 9.5 made the transition to a plus 125 to the over, minus 145 under. We are now sat here at an 8.5 number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. My initial read is if this suspension is 12 or more games, we go down to a 7.5. If he is suspended for the year, I could be off base here. It looks like the Browns might be booked as one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's an ultra-talented, you know, roster. But as we know, the quarterback drives the bus. And also, if we're taking a look at this again, you know, one of these PSAs from a guy that's been around the block a little bit, we don't know exactly where this turn is going to go, Kevin. What happens if the suspension comes down for a full year, they get a court injunction, and the, you know, the lawyers say, all right, we'll push this to February 27th of 2023, and he plays the entire season? There's still a lot of uncharted waters out here, Kevin, that we still got to manage.
Commissioner exempt list. I have a feeling we could all of a sudden enter the conversation. We keep it with the NFL. We make the move towards Jimmy Garoppolo and Mitchell Trubisky.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, we continue to look at the top scorers in the NFL, and there is certainly one developing in Pittsburgh. Mitchell Trubisky signed pretty quickly to be the man in Pittsburgh. My initial thought was he's not there to be the man, maybe there to just be a backup. Then he was going to enter a battle with Mason Rudolph. Then the Pittsburgh Steelers were the only team to take a quarterback in the first round. Initial thought for me, give Kenny Pickett the job. The other two guys, they've got no juice. Now, Donnie, accurately up until about 48 hours ago, said they're going to start Trubisky. It's why he's there. They view him as a veteran, despite the fact that he's not. And he's going to try and guide the ship to a bunch of losses. But again, he was largely right. The Steelers were going to give Trubisky the job. He just had to not be horrendous, awful, unacceptably bad. And what do you know? He has been horrendous, awful, and unacceptably bad for the Pittsburgh Steelers during training camp. Give the people, Donnie, some of the numbers that were coming off the field yesterday for Trubisky during 7-on-7s, which means he is out there playing with no pass rush.
Yeah, based on the first day, it looks like he had a nice day, Kevin, throwing three touchdown passes, I guess, in red zone sort of 7-on-7 drills. Things were looking up. And after that, it's been a complete clunker here, including a 3-of-20, Kevin, in the red zone with no touchdowns. So what does that mean here, right? You're at the 10-yard line. You're throwing an out route at the 9-yard line. You're getting 2 yards here. All right, let's get the confidence built up. And keep in mind, if you don't know what 7-on-7 is, it's basically a quarterback passing on air. It's got no pass rush. So your wide receivers and your running back going out in routes against linebackers, safeties, and cornerbacks. Again, you don't have any pass rush. So they give you a little bit more leeway. Instead of in the NFL where you got to take that snap, release the football in 2.5 seconds, you probably get about 4.5 to 5 seconds here. And nobody's getting open out here is what you're telling me. And he can't complete a pass. That's such a tough look. And you're right. The words that you said here was, it was Mitchell Trubisky's job to lose. And whenever you hear that is, just be average. Like, don't throw a lot of touchdowns. Don't throw a lot of interceptions. And you will find yourself the week one starting quarterback because that's what they brought you in for. The front office is rooting for you so they don't embarrass themselves when they have to say, well, hold on. This was our key offseason acquisition to lead us in 2022, and he didn't even make it out of the starting gate, and we're going to Mason Rudolph and moving, you know, our rookie draft pickup, Kenny Pickett, into the number 2 slot. This is a disaster for Pittsburgh. So I go right to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say to myself, well, what do the odds look like? Because I'm waiting for that plus 950 to turn into plus 1050, plus 1150. Because the one thing that we do know, the Steelers win. The Steelers want to win. But if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a choice to win at this point, Kevin.
The thing with the Steelers is, especially because of last season, the Mike Tomlin is always going to be 500 or better is a big talking point coming into this year. They have a win total of 7.5. If you think about the fact that we just talked about the Cleveland Browns, and I know Cleveland's got a lot of question marks going around them, but 3-1 to win a division and an 8.5 win total. Yet the Steelers have a 7.5 win total, but are triple the odds to win the division of the third choice on the board. It's because there are people, and I understand, betting the Steelers over, saying, I got a game of breathing room. Tomlin's never under 500. At the end of the day, as much as we've slandered Big Ben, he at least has been there forever. And they had a rapport, and they were able to find ways to cross the finish line. Trubisky is the opposite. Again, I don't know how you acquire the veteran label. I guess it's get onto your third team and be around for more than a couple of years. He's 27 with 5 years under his belt. One of them spent as a backup and the other four embarrassing himself. But nevertheless, I guess he is a veteran. But if your real plan is to go with a veteran who's been there, you would go with Mason Rudolph. And incredibly, they're actually considering going with Mason Rudolph. So let's forget these two guys for just a minute. Is the Steelers' main goal, above everything else, not letting Kenny Pickett be the week one starter because they're worried about starting a quarterback right away? Because I'm pretty sure that that is a bit of a debunked theory. You do not have to sit your guy for 7 games. It is not some type of magical guarantee that then presents your quarterback as a future star in the league. In Chicago, they didn't start Justin Fields right away. The year it was a nightmare. They started Mac Jones right away. They started Trevor Lawrence right away. Is anybody basing their year two analysis on any of that? I don't believe so. So why does it seem that their priority is just not allowing, by the way, an older rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett to just start?
Yeah, it's the Steeler way, Kevin. Don't you have to earn your decal on the side of your helmet? Don't you have to do, like, you got to go away to mini camps here, and you got to go away to training camp, and you got to carry, like, the other guy's lunch pail for a couple days? He hasn't earned his way yet to be a Steeler. Now, having looked at this, too, because you're right, like Kenny Pickett right now, you're seeing reports in camp. If you have two starters that you feel are going to be Mitchell Trubisky and Kyle Rudolph, what's the point? They're not obviously not your future. You brought Mitchell Trubisky and say, hey, maybe revamped himself, former number one draft pick there for the Chicago Bears, moved on, showed some good signs at Buffalo. Looks like we can resurrect his career and win football games because that's what the Steelers want to do. And it looks like that's not going to happen. Why wouldn't you go to your rookie? Now, also, here's a true indictment here on the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they are about winning, Kevin, because they struck fairly early on getting Mitchell Trubisky, if we have the same argument now, and let's just say some of the quarterbacks that we think will move around and have already have moved around, Baker Mayfield goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you say, will they have a winning season? Yeah, I think they will. Carson Wentz goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think they'll have a winning season? Sure, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut and is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's healthy. Do you think the Steelers can have a winning season? Yeah, I really do. Matt Ryan, who moved from the Atlanta Falcons to the Colts, he goes to the Steelers. Yeah, you know what? Winning season here. Mitchell Trubisky goes to the Steelers, and everything we said right away was, what are the Steelers doing? So to see this in training camp right now is really not a surprise at this point because it's basically they could have picked anybody else with the movement on the free agent market or via trade to be their quarterback. And we'd have said, you know what? Tomlin will work this out. But they got Trubisky. I'm like, ooh, Tomlin's really stressing himself out over this one. Let's see if he can get the job done.
And we will or won't get to Garoppolo in a minute. But here is the other thing on Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett is older than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is entering a season where if he doesn't go out there and apparently win the Super Bowl, Eagles fans like Donnie and Howie Roseman are going to send him off.
Yep.
And Kenny Pickett, they don't even want him to play in Pittsburgh. You see how that doesn't make any sense? Like, Kenny Pickett's a young rookie figuring it out, and Jalen Hurts is, again, a second team away from transitioning to a grizzled vet. So it's one of those things where you really just start Kenny Pickett, who, by the way, has maintained his offensive rookie of the year favorite status for a good while, and it's a plus 700 number. If they do name Pickett the week one starter, you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Forget cut in half. Plus 250 at the minimum. The gap there for Kenny Pickett being a quarterback and what feels like a far more uncertain crop of skill position players. If Pickett is the week one starter, he is going to be a with a gap favorite in that market. And let's be honest, Donnie. If he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, Steelers fans will be over the moon. Even if they only win six football games or seven football games. So that, to me, is becoming... I was right when I said they should do it. You were right when you said they weren't gonna. But now, forget that. They should start Kenny Pickett. The rest of this is nonsensical.
Now, if they don't, Kevin, you know what I see setting up here on the horizon? A Trey Lance situation from the boys here on the early line going, hey, you know what? Maybe he's just not that good, and they know he's not that good because all indicators, and again, maybe it's just the Steeler way, as we like to say. Doesn't it feel like when Kenny Pickett was drafted in the first round here, they already had Mitchell Trubisky, they were sort of putting up the smoke signals that said, we don't care how Kenny Pickett plays. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be our starting quarterback. He's a veteran in this league, and that's the way we wanted it. That's why we brought him in here. So even that you're seeing now into training camp, doesn't it feel like the word out of Pittsburgh is, Kenny Pickett's going to have his time, but it's not now. We're focused on Kyle Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky to see who can win that job. When this wasn't a third, fourth, or fifth round draft pick, this wasn't a guy coming out of college where the MO on him was, yeah, he's going to need a couple years to learn the system like a Malik Willis. This was a guy that was coming out ready-made to be a pro football quarterback, which is why you drafted him in the first round, but getting that treatment as if, yeah, we drafted this guy, but we don't think he's going to be ready for 2 or 3 years because Joe Montana and Aaron Rodgers are ahead of him. What do you want us to do? It's Mitchell Trubisky ahead of him, and I'm not hearing enough from Kenny Pickett. I need to see those beat writers have to go, man, Kenny was awesome yesterday. Hey, Kenny, in front of the microphone, how'd you feel about your practice? Feel like I'm working in well, and I really want to be the starter of this franchise. Let's go. Ooh, we could buy into that. But it just seems like they're downplaying Pickett at every turn and actually telling you, the media and the fans, yeah, calm down on Kenny Pickett. We're not even going to give him a chance to shine because we don't want any controversy between Kyle Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky trying for the starting job. It's crazy.
Now, here's the... Should I be nice? Yeah, I'll be nice. I'm nicer than you are. Here is the thing with Pickett, though. Remember Mac Jones last year? That's clearly going to be Cam. Guys, it's going to be Cam. Cam is an important member of this football team moving forward. Cut. Gone, Mac Jones week one starter. Now, I don't think they're going to cut Trubisky or Rudolph, but there is still actually a lot of time here for a decision to be made. Week one, Pittsburgh makes the trip to Cincinnati as a 6.5-point dog. Fascinating stuff for us to follow. Quick break. We'll be right back with the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We make the move to Major League Baseball, where there were a lot of big stories yesterday. I think the top one, though, was Juan Soto's debut in San Diego. Six batters in, five runs on the board. Brandon Drury in his Padre debut gives this team a grand slam. You had Manny Machado with a multi-hit day, and you had Juan Soto deliver as well. A run scored, a base knock, and a pair of walks, which is what I think is going to start to be maybe talked about a little bit more again, is just kind of the rate at which Juan Soto is walking compared to the rest of the league and how that's elevating a lot of his seasonal numbers right now. But what a fantastic start for the Padres here, Donnie, with their new talent coming in. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, the takeaway is pretty much exactly what you thought. This is what's supposed to happen, right? You load up your roster. You get a dominant closer. You also get two key pieces. You're Juan Soto, one of the best young players in Major League Baseball, and also Josh Bell. You take a look at him yesterday. Didn't get any base hits, but he was on base twice. And also the same ripple effect, which we talk about, we're waiting on Fernando Tatis, right? We're waiting for that big three in the middle of the order that says you can't just pitch around one or two of these guys because they'll be on base and somebody else is going to hurt you. So you see Juan Soto there, one for two, also taking two walks. But how about that? Manny Machado right behind him, Kevin. 3-for-4 last night, raising his average to 293. This is the problem. This is what we talk about even when we got the DHs into the National League. There are no breathing points here. And with that trade deadline, ramping up on the bats and the talent that you got for the Padres, this team, as I said yesterday, starts to turn into a team total that you're going to want to look at on a night-to-night basis. Even though they play in a pitcher's ballpark, this talent is too much to overcome. You saw a pitcher yesterday in Chad Kuhl, which you thought was going to be vulnerable, and he was. The final score, 9 runs. They had those 9 runs by the 5th inning and just cruised with 10 hits. This is going to be a team that's going to have a lot of base runners with a chance to get a lot of RBI, and certainly, once again, being on my radar for scoring runs the rest of the way.
That, to me, was the biggest takeaway, was Manny Machado. Soto is right now the star of the show. Brandon Drury, again, the grand slam. Josh Bell in the mix, right? We're waiting for Tatis Jr. to come back. Machado opened up this season red hot, and at one point, actually, was the NL MVP favorite. Batted 386 in April, was batting 312 in May. He batted 202 in the month of July. A real slump for Machado. But he is now, it will feel like, always is going to hit with a base runner on. Again, I know you look at the Soto statistics and that 246 batting average jumps off. He has the third best on-base percentage in all of baseball. He has walked over 30 more times than the next closest player in baseball. Yes, I understand you want stars to be batting above 246. But the fact that he is batting 246 and is on base, the third most in baseball, like he would right now, if he was having a better year with the stick, would be having a Barry Bonds level on base percentage right now. And that is going to, I really think, help Manny Machado get back into his groove. We've talked about that NL MVP market. Could there be vulnerability there for Goldschmidt at the top? Machado does check in at a 25-1 number. We'll see how he is elevated by the arrival of Juan Soto. We also yesterday saw the Mariners and the Yankees do battle, and it was a fun matchup on paper. Luis Castillo versus Gerrit Cole. And this game was over before it started. 6 first-inning runs for the Seattle Mariners off of 3 home runs, Suarez, Santana, and Kelenic. And this, the problem for the Yankees, is that this wasn't a, listen, it happens once in a blue moon, nightmare scenario for Gerrit Cole. It was his 5th time this season, 5th, allowing 5 or more earned runs in a single start. Is Gerrit Cole actually good enough to be the ace of this Yankees staff for a World Series run? That feels like the big question after this game.
Yeah, I do think he is. I mean, I don't want to panic all too much here. Yankees with 70 wins on the Major League Baseball season. You're going to have pitching performances like that on occasion being in the Bronx. It's a true hitter's ballpark, and sometimes that's what happens. But also, you don't like the fact that you get drubbed for 6 right away. But you know the talent is there. As we were watching this live yesterday on Moneyline, say, man, look at this. You know, even though he's getting dinged around, he's painting the black at 100 miles an hour. We know he's going to get it together. At least I think he's going to get it together here. We can be that dominant presence in the postseason. He's shown that propensity in the past with the Houston Astros, and I think he can do it again this year. But it's never a good look when your ace gets hammered because, quite frankly, yesterday, coming off of a loss, this is the game that you want for the Yankees. Hey, we're facing an ace for the Mariners. Let's put them in their place. And this wasn't one of those slow bleed games, 2-1, 3-2, 4-3 as you get later in the game. This was 6-0 right off the bat. The prevailing thought process from us was, now hold on. Like, you're not going up against a bum pitcher on the other side. It's Luis Castillo. He should be able to cruise, and he did. 6 2/3, 3 earned runs, 8 Ks, exactly what he needed to do after getting a 6-run lead. Tough look for the Yankees. Don't want to panic all too much, and I think Gerrit Cole will be fine.
But it's fine as relative. Gerrit Cole was paid to be baseball's best pitcher by the Yankees. You'll settle for somewhere inside the top 5. he's not been one of the 10 best pitchers in the American League this season. And the problem for Gerrit Cole is he doesn't give you seven innings, three earned, guts it out, right? It's the blow-up points. Five-plus earned runs. Donnie, you know how many times it's happened to McClanahan this year? Once. Verlander, once. Corbin Burns, once. Sandy Alcantara, once. How about his own teammate, Nestor Cortez? Zero times. You can't have that as an ace. Five times DRS. The idea that the Yankees will line it up against whomever, the Tampa Bay Rays in the opening game of the playoffs, and he is live to be absolutely lit up for five-plus runs, everybody running to the window on the yes runs first inning, is not good enough. Do I think that Gerrit Cole has to be baseball's best pitcher for the Yankees to win a World Series? No, I don't think he has to be that level. But does he have to not be absolutely ran off the field? Yes, that's necessary, because I don't think I have to remind Yankee fans or really anybody that watches this show or follows the sport clearly. Donnie, last year, wild card, do or die, Boston Red Sox. Two innings of work, three earned runs, see you later. Yankees lose to the Boston Red Sox. That cannot happen. Not, you are supposed to have that advantage there if you have Gerrit Cole, and I think that is the difficult thing right now, is the Yankees have solid guys. Frankie Montas is another solid guy. But I don't know if we can accurately look at the Yankees that they have a runaway ace. I don't know if Gerrit Cole, despite a 9-4 record and the most strikeouts in baseball, I don't know if he right now is a top 10 pitcher in the sport. And boy, are the Yankees looking for him to be that.
Yes, and they are looking for the BN. And the point is valid, though, because when you step up to the mound, let's just say in a wild card situation, divisional round, ALCS, or World Series, let's just say Gerrit Cole gets the ball game one. The last thing you want is usually the guy that gets game one, your ace. Like, man, I'm expecting a dominant performance tonight. You don't have those thought process when Max Scherzer steps up to the mound in game one. Ooh, I wonder if we get bad Max tonight. Or Jacob DeGrom shows up. I wonder if we get bad DeGrom tonight. You don't get those feelings, and you're not supposed to. Same thing with a Shane McClanahan or a Clayton Kershaw. Now, he did have his playoff problems in the past, maybe he righted that ship. But whenever you give it to your ace, it's supposed to be like, whoa, thank goodness our ace is on the mound tonight. Let's see what we get, as opposed to Gerrit Cole going, ooh, cross your fingers. Let's see this first inning. If he goes 1-2-3, we're off and running. But if he gets lit up in the first, there's a chance of that as well. You really can't have that thought process. And right now, Gerrit Cole hasn't given much of a, hey, you know what? I'm working my way through this, because if he shows up in the playoffs like he does now, those questions will arise. And you're right. He's not paid. Well, Gerrit Cole's going to make it $3 million this year. We'll see if he wants to get paid in the offseason. No, he's paid to win those games and dominate those big games.
And if you look through Gerrit Cole, for the most part, you know, he's kind of mainly had bounce back points, but that actually is two consecutive starts in a row of five plus earned runs. So that is, look, the incredible thing is the Yankees are 3-2 in those five games. That's how good the Yankees have been this year. You just cannot rely on stuff like that. Speaking of aces, Shohei Ohtani had the ball yesterday. This is done, right? This is over. The Ohtani, like, MVP thing. To be honest, like, I know that people would think that is ridiculous and slanderous, but I feel like he had two opportunities on a silver platter against the Rangers and the Athletics, against Howard, against Caprillion, to put two wins on the table, put multi-strikeout games on the table, and while going up against really bad pitching, Donnie, be able to say, look what I did today. I struck out 10 and hit a home run. And that's not what we've seen from Shohei Ohtani. And I'm not saying it's all his fault. Yes, you could absolutely sell me on the idea that if Ohtani was on a winning baseball team, this would feel different. But the Angels are awful. Like, they are absolutely horrific. I think yesterday was the first time all year long Caprillion had the ball and Donnie didn't stop and make sure that we talked about a potential team total over against the team that he was going against. The Angels aren't even worth mention. Shohei Ohtani had the ball, and honestly, I know he was blown up that one game by the Braves, but it was one bad inning and he still had all those strikeout pitches working. 5 2/3, 7 hits, and only 7 strikeouts against the Athletics. This was really one of the more disappointing starts for Ohtani.
Yeah, because we were joking yesterday, had to get back into the race. Well, this is the perfect team to do it against. Have 10 strikeouts, shut out through seven innings, hit a home run at the plate, and then you can say, okay, even though the Angels are bad and not playing for anything, Shohei Ohtani seems like he's doing it. So what are you telling me for the Angels' perspective? Making a trade for former number one overall pick Mickey Moniak didn't help your team as he went 0-2 and now hits a .125 on the season? That didn't help you sparking that lineup, getting Mickey in right away? It's a really bad team. And also, the extra credit, the word that I like to use here, I don't know what extra credit we're getting here anymore for the Angels, because winning is not a priority right now. So unless Shohei Ohtani, again, just does his own thing, swings for the fence every single time he's at the plate and has dominant starts, he shouldn't be in the race for MVP. Because still, even though MVP is supposed to be the most valuable player, which means the best player in the league, which I do think Shohei Ohtani does have a legitimate gripe in doing, because nobody pitches and hits, at least on the level that he does it. But you got to have something. If the Angels were hovering around 500, there still would be a little bit of an intrigue. If they were staying in that wild card race, you can have a little intrigue. What intrigue is a team that's probably going to finish 25 games or more under 500, and you're saying they have the MVP of the Major League Baseball season on their team? The Angels are doing such a disservice to Shohei Ohtani's MVP race. It's crazy, because Aaron Judge, again, hitting home runs and winning, at least the Yankees are respectable on a night-to-night basis. If Judge gets a big base hit and they win, that means something. If Shohei Ohtani gets a big base hit on a team 25 games under 500 on a night where they're playing the Athletics, who cares? And I guess the voters now are looking at it that same way, as Aaron Judge is widening that margin over Shohei Ohtani.
And the other thing that I've talked about a lot is the difficulty to try and repeat an award. You know, Ohtani's ERA yesterday went from a 2.81 to a 2.83. It wasn't bad. Again, we're talking about Gerrit Cole can hardly get out of the first inning against the Seattle Mariners. 5 2/3, two earned runs for Ohtani, struck out seven batters. And we're acting like it's a bad start. It's not a bad start at all. The Ohtani bar is incredibly high. And I just do think that the nature of the Angels right now isn't allowing for him to cross it. Also, he was pinch hit for mild forearm cramps. They say he's fine. He'll DH today. But we're getting closer to the Ohtani take a week, Ohtani take a couple days, Ohtani's done for the season, because the Angels season is completely
Where's over. Trout?
One more baseball story for us to get to here. Gone. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's close out hour number one with some Brewers. I can't help myself. So Devin Williams checks in for the first time in his closer role, but it wasn't a chance for a save. The first batter takes him deep, and the Pirates walk it off. Here's why this is really a story. This isn't going to be some victory lap. I anticipate Devin Williams will be fine. Did you by chance, Donnie, see Devin Williams in the locker room after Josh Hader was traded? Not after this game, but after Josh Hader was traded. I recommend everybody seeking it out, as he seemed like he was just told that, you know, his puppy was going to have to be sold. And the ending comment from Devin Williams, who was trying for a full 2 minutes to not say what he really wanted to say, was just, yeah, I want to win. I don't know what else to tell you. Because the reality is, no matter what anybody tells me about Taylor Rogers, Nelson Lamet, and Hader's ERA, is that Brewers locker room took Josh Hader being traded as a negative sign. Because of course they did. Because of course they viewed a guy that in that locker room they saw as one of their stars being traded as a non-winning move.
Yes, and also, look at the way the game played out, Kevin, because it's not as if you just take Josh Hader out of the rotation and it only affects the ninth inning because Williams can come in and be fine. Look at the sixth inning, two earned runs. Look at the seventh inning, three earned runs. Look at the ninth inning, one earned run. One of those games where I always told you, watch out for the back end of that Brewers bullpen because they got it on lock late. Now seems to be a little bit of turmoil there, and you're right. Nobody understands this decision outside of the owner that said, you know what? I'd have to pay Hader a lot of money coming up shortly. This is a win for us. No, it's a loss for your entire organization.
The owner and, of course, the man in the robe who loved the heady decision to ship off Josh Hader. We take a break right here on the early line. It is the Hall of Fame game coming up next on Sports Grid.